On this episode of Sidebar Forever, we're quarantined. The three of us, Dwight, Swain, and Adrian, each wanted to pick a movie that we think captures the spirit of what is affecting the whole planet right now. Our picks are Mad Max, John Carpenter's The Thing, and 12 Monkeys. And while these are very different films, they do share a common trait. People living in isolation who are forced to deal with an outside threat. Our movie discussion is fast and loose at best, but really, it's an opportunity for us to emote over the current state of affairs. And to everyone, please stay safe and keep those hands washed.
Good morning, Dr. Silverman. How's the knee?
Did you just have a brain fart?
I know Taekwondo.
Stop eating my sesame cake!
You're killing me, Smalls.
Fuck with me, and we'll see who shits on the sidewalk.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
Clearly, I wasn't talking to you, big titties. You cherub-looking motherfucker.
While you were still learning how to spell your name, I was being trained to conquer galaxies.
The real question is, what are those?
Welcome back to another episode of Sidebar Forever, the 2.0 of the old Sidebar. Or...
Something like that.
Who wants Sidebar Forever?
The new platform.
Who wants Sidebar Forever? Ooh. That's like Queen riff, dog.
Good. Say it again?
That's like Queen riff, dog, from mm-hmm. Who Wants to Live Forever, dude?
Oh, yes,
Who
it
wants
is.
To live forever? Yeah. Anyway.
The three of us are based just outside of Atlanta, and Atlanta, our community, has been sheltering in place for about the last 7 weeks now, I guess it is.
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
Based on the, the outbreak of the coronavirus, you know, everybody is social distancing and staying indoors, and everybody's getting a little bit squirrely and a little bit, cabin fever turning into Jack Nicholson's character in the in The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, truly. So anyway, we thought that we would have a discussion. This is a pop culture show, so we thought we'd have a discussion about some films that kind of deal with the themes of isolation and quarantine. People being sectioned off from their neighbors. Kind of how that kind of feels for us, as well, as it relates to, some of the characters in the films and the stories, that we're going to discuss. But the three films we're going to deal with are Mad Max, The Thing, and 12 Monkeys.
Okay.
All of which I think are great choices for a topic like this.
Oh yeah.
So Adrian, why don't you start us off, man? Cause I know The Thing, is one of your favorites. It's Carpenter. Yeah. John Carpenter is one of your favorites. So why don't you start us off, man?
All right. Well, yeah. I picked John Carpenter's The Thing, just in terms of, it talking about isolation and, this contagion. But in this case, the contagion is obviously this alien being, this killer alien, that right. comes into the midst of this camp, and the way it starts is, we get introduced to McCready and the rest of the cast of characters, and they're just going about their daily lives, roller skating and playing pool and researching and flying helicopters with sombreros on, all that type of stuff, right? Yeah. And then once this alien appears, you slowly start to see this carefree existence turn into one of paranoia and who's sick, and then you start looking at your neighbor, looking at your buddy that you just had, drinks with earlier, and you're like, is it you? Don't come near me. Is it you? You know what I'm saying? And I think The Thing is just, it plays upon that. Even more so than the great special effects of the alien and everything, it's that feeling of isolation, that feeling of paranoia that really drives the movie, you know, and even more so with the ending of the movie too. I mean, you have Kurt Russell and Keith David's characters. They've defeated the alien, but now it's like, basically, they're going to still die anyway from exposure right. in Antarctica, you know? So it's just like, oh, so bleak, but, you know, I think it has a correlation to, unfortunately, the real world that we're experiencing right now, you know, with the virus as well. You know, we have, in fact, you know, my mother just informed me about 2 weeks ago that a cousin on my father's side actually passed away from the coronavirus. You know?
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So,
me too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's hitting home for a lot of people, you know, and just the fact that, you know, it seems like there's a lot of desolation there, and I feel like people, unfortunately, can start to relate to it. You know, in certain movies that are in the pop culture. So that's why I chose The Thing, you know, because to me, I think it'll take on an even more, not necessarily just a richer meaning, you know, when I watch it from now on, but the feelings and the tense emotions that are in there, I think will be even more, much more palpable, you know, than they already are, you know, in the film. So that was my pick, The Thing.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I didn't even think about it in terms of how, like you're saying, they're all like in the room together and weren't they like cutting each other to see?
Yes.
Who bleed?
Oh, I meant to mention that. Thank you, Swizz.
Yeah.
If I can add that one part, where they have to do the blood test, you know, mm-hmm. MacReady's like, look, each of you put a drop of your blood in these Petri dishes and mm-hmm. we're going to put this solution in there and we're going to find out who is infected now. And that's
right.
And that's very much like when you go to the hardware store now. When I go to dialysis now, they take my temperature at the door. And if it's above 98.6, I'm not walking in there. They're like, you need to stay your ass outside until you cool down. they stop you at the door to the clinic and they check your temperature. So if you've been sitting out in your car, like, you know, eating lunch before you come in or something, and you try to walk right in and you still kind of hot, so that scene in The Thing is just like that. Let's see who is infected, and then when you find out who it is, you're like, oh shoot, cast them out. get me away from me, you know, don't come in here with that, you know what I'm saying? I'm in here sneezing and all hot with the fever, get out of here. That scene right there, that's what crystallized it in my mind as far as my pick. Thank you for mentioning that, Swizz, because I meant to bring that up. Thank you.
Yeah. That movie is a good example of, I guess, what you would call like the kind of, and it's not necessarily culturally sensitive to use this word, this term today, but the 10 Little Indians.
Sure.
You know, it's like one down. Okay, one more. Now one more. And then there were two, you know, MacReady and Childs, you know. The only two that are left.
Yeah.
So. But I haven't seen The Thing in a couple of years, even though it pops up and I'll watch a clip, you know, a few scenes from here and there. But I've not seen it in its entirety in a while. Mm-hmm. But that's not one that I immediately would have thought of for this particular discussion. But I think it's a very good example of you know, especially like you're saying, how people are now, because you don't know, you know, you're wearing the masks in public because, you know, not to protect you from other people from you, but you from other people.
Right.
You don't know if you're asymptomatic and you're going to pass this on to somebody else who isn't. And, you know, my cousin's uncle passed away from, you know, COVID-19.
Oh, man.
Wow.
His wife is in the hospital now fighting for her life. She's got it.
Wow.
You know, and this particular cousin's, her son is engaged to an RN. Who works at the hospital at the University of Illinois, and she got it, you know, she recovered and she's back at work.
Wow.
Wow.
you know, so you just never ever know, man. You just never know. And so it really was a good pick though. Dean, what about yourself, man? What you gonna get into some?
Man, I don't know, man. It's hard to mix fiction in with reality, man. Because for me, the lines blur so constantly, and I think Mad Max really is a story of a lot of different things, also besides Isolation. I think the original Mad Max with Mel Gibson back in I guess 79, 80, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was a story of post-apocalyptic measures based on poor concepts and ideas, which I guess kind of fits now, based on how people that have portrayed the small people, you know, and because of it, it left our world in a shambles. And Max was perfectly fine. He was a cop. Perfectly fine until he lost his wife and kids. Then he went into a whole self-isolationist mad, crazy downward spiral. So he didn't want to be around anybody. All he wanted was revenge for what happened to his wife and kids on this biker gang. And you can see like hints of that now, man, in society where these crazy posse comitatus mentality ideal people think they can go around with which they can. The amendments guarantee, the Constitution guarantees they can do certain things, but at what point does it become a terroristic threat to walk around with something like that on your shoulder and in your pocket?
What are you talking
versus,
about?
I'm talking about the isolationist ideals spiraling out into the mindset of individuals which carry weapons to Capitol Hills and various other certain segments of society with the idea of making it's time to go back to work now. Let's open back up the different businesses and environments so that we can all go back to work and make money and so on and so forth. It's like, yeah, it's true that we all need to work. It's true we all have to pay our bills. But at the same time, to exhibit such a wanton, an angered filled measure of your constitutional rights to carry arms. Mm-hmm. It's subtly belligerent, but not really subtle. You know what I mean? Like if you don't like it, well, you can go ahead and try to take it away from me. Take it away from you. Why would I waste my time trying to do that? Like that's not what this is. You're looking for an opportunity to go off the deep end and take this further than where it needs to go. And that's what I'm saying as far as the whole Mel Gibson thing, the whole Mad Max thing. It starts off being a problem where people in power made poor choices as far as gauging the severity of the need for isolation, which is what's happening in our situation. But now it's metastasized into something wherein people are now feeling like they have to hoard toilet paper, they have to hoard food, they have to, you know, keep themselves inside. And because they don't know where it's coming from, we don't know if it's airborne. It is airborne. We don't know if we have to put masks. We don't know if it's transmitted from asymptomatic person to a symptomatic person or vice versa, whatever the case may be. But at the same time, it's like we're losing our humanity in strange and subtle ways. And it's like it's become almost a free-for-all. It's become a situation wherein people are losing their common sense and their will to accept the situation for what it is right now to make things better for the future, you know? And I know I'm going off in a whole other left-field diatribe as far as we intended to go with this thing, but, you know, Mad Max very much still is a tale of isolationist because of his discontentment with society and how it went down the shitter, and the way his wife and children lost their lives, you know. I'm sorry, that's the best way I can describe it. You know, I've been on a 4-week vacation because, you know, I cohabitate with an elderly person in my house. Not elderly in terms of decrepit, just elderly in terms of age, outside of the age bracket. And it's a thing wherein I didn't want to be at my full-time job being constantly possibly inundated with this COVID-19 situation and having to constantly bring it home to that person I care about. So I waited till, quote-unquote, the peak tapered off, and now it's, quote-unquote, flattening, though it's debatable as to how effective that was as far as whether that's flattening or not here in Georgia. You know, it seems to be, even though the numbers are going up, I think it's a question like now there are more tests out there, and that because there's more tests out there, we can see there's going to be more evidence of it being more thoroughly saturated throughout our individual areas inside of Georgia. Go ahead, Adrian. I'm sorry.
No. I'm good. I wanted you to finish what you were saying, but I just have two things in regards mm-hmm. to what you're saying. One, in regards to people walking around with weapons and everything, there have been several instances that can be attested to that. The nurse in my dialysis was telling me that up in, I forget which city, but there was an elderly gentleman that was waiting in line, and there were two women that were in line in front of him. And I guess he thought that they were too close to him in line, even though they were minding their own business or whatnot. And he pulled a gun on them. And he said, get really? Away from me. Get away from me. And drew down on them.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's a, have you lost your ever-loving mind where you think you drawing a weapon on somebody is a necessary response to someone getting too close to you because you're fearful.
It's not a reasonable response.
Right.
It's not reasonable. What?
Right?
You know, this isn't an imminent threat to you. This is just, right. Hey, let's try to be as safe as we can.
Right.
Which I've had to do in public, too, is tell people, you know, hey, can you give us some distance here? You know, you're like right up on me, you know. So, anyway, go ahead. Cut you off.
No, you're good. The other thing I was going to mention, too, just in terms of isolation and that being a theme in Mad Max, you know, I do feel like in some ways people are kind of not wholesale giving up their humanity, but little pieces, and we're willingly doing it. I think I had remarked to Swain or both of you guys how easily this whole situation just became the new normal. It's as if it caught us by surprise for 1 week, and then instantly thereafter, there were glass partitions everywhere like a damn liquor store, and there are all these other precautions being taken. And it just popped up. It seemed like the next week, all these businesses and everything knew exactly what they were going to do, you know? And it's just crazy how this has become like the new normal. And even, and to me, my theory is that even after this whole thing clears up, it's not going to go back to how it was before. You know, the nation right now, more and more states are choosing to reopen businesses incrementally and slowly. But I still feel like people are going to have that. It's that once people want to be amongst each other, but they still want that personal space, even more so now. You know,
it's not just the wanting part of it. That's why what Dwight is saying. I mean, without us kind of going off on a rabbit hole and not even talking about movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's an unreasonable response because this is a public safety issue. This is not about your rights or, you know, anything like that. This is, you know, we've got to do these things because you've got to try to minimize the transmission of the disease, and you've got to try to find out where people have been so that you can stop the transmission chains. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I sent you guys a couple of articles, you know, when the Spanish flu hit back in the 1819, I think it was, mm-hmm. It was the same thing. Assholes who didn't want to wear masks, who didn't want to cancel parades, who didn't want to cancel the theater. And so, you know, you end up having a second and a third wave of this, and it ends up going on longer than it has to. If this was just a random thing that was not attacking people in our society that our society deems is non-essential, elderly people and people who are medically fragile. This is what people are thinking. Well, you know, if they die, okay, well, they was probably going to die anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attitude that people have. That's why people are not moved and they're not shook by the idea that 70,000 people have died from this in 3 months.
Yeah.
70,000 people. It's not even comparable to the flu. The flu would sometimes take out 3,000 to 5,000 people in a year. This is 70,000 mm-hmm. in 3 months. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. a public safety issue, and that's why, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the economy is suffering, but, I mean, you can't put the economy in front of lives. If this was attacking children under the age of 10, you best goddamn believe everybody would be talking about how everybody needs to be wearing a mask. But because mm-hmm. it's elderly people who are seen as targets and it's the medically fragile, everybody has a bit more of a callous attitude about it. I'm healthy as mm-hmm. a horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's just the way I feel. If sure. if you're not scared of it, you deserve to get it. If you're not scared of it and you're going to walk around without a mask and not giving people 6 feet distance, you deserve to get it. Mm-hmm. That's your business. Mm-hmm. Handle mm-hmm. your business.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's all yeah. I want to say.
We don't really come to talk about all that.
Right.
I thought, one of the things I thought about Mad Max as a choice when D brought it up was, because gasoline was like the big commodity
right.
in that movie, right? Mm-hmm. So the gasoline is like toilet paper and like meat. You know, there's people hoarding, you know, toilet paper and meat. You know, hoarding the gasoline. And people were kind of isolated. You know, it's like, okay, now you have like roving bands, like the biker gang. Mm-hmm. You know, Max was by himself. But, you know, in most apocalyptic films, like Mad Max is kind of akin to like, let's say the Book of Eli
mm-hmm.
or A Boy and His Dog or even Omega Man. And,
yeah.
I Am Legend and 28 Days Later, where, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, okay, society is forever changed. Or even the Walking Dead, which I know, D, you know, you've seen The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
As well. But, you know, it's, you know, people get into packs, you know, mm-hmm. and they stay amongst their own. And mm-hmm. you know, when you come in contact with others, you know, you don't take anybody in because you don't know who they are. You don't know what they got.
Right. Right, let's see them, give them a side eye. Look like, you know, what's really going on with these people and why are they out on their own and kind of wandering, meandering.
Yeah. But my choice was 12 Monkeys,
mm-hmm.
Which came out in 1995, directed by...
Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, directed by... brain fart for a second there. Directed by Terry Gilliam and starring Bruce Willis and Madeline Stowe, Brad Pitt, David Morris, and Christopher Plummer. And I've always liked that movie, and in thinking about, you know, this conversation we're going to have, I thought it'd be a good choice because, you know, that movie is very close to what we're dealing with now, where there was a contagion or there was a germ outbreak, and it made living on the surface of the earth unlivable, so everybody had to move underground.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go outside, but you had to go outside with like this full hazmat suit on. And, you know, it didn't affect the animals because, you know, there were lions roaming around in, you know, in the public spaces. You know, wild animals, you know, had basically come into areas which were previously urban.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're all living underground and trying to stay separate from, stay away from the outside world. And even though they're all together, there is an isolated mentality because they were constantly trying to figure out a way through science and then eventually through, you know, like... You know, it's a science fiction.
Time travel, right?
Yeah. Almost using, you know, a scientific science fiction method to try to figure out how to undo what had been done.
Mm-hmm.
But I always really liked the movie. Another thing I didn't think about until I was doing some research is Frank Gorshin was in the movie as a Dr. Fletcher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The Riddler, yo.
The Riddler, yo.
But anyway, you know, Gilliam's directing, his style, you know, was really good for it. It's kind of steampunkish, mm-hmm. kind of a sci-fi vibe, almost like, you know, some of his previous movies.
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis's character was a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he was a prisoner. Wasn't he a prisoner?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it in a while. But I think he was a prisoner, but he was a little bit crazy. And of course, once you travel back in time to modern day, you know, he was definitely seen as crazy and ended up in a mental institution. And that's where he encountered Brad Pitt, whom for most of the movie he thought, you know, was the reason why the contagion, you know, the outbreak happened. And then come to find out that that was a red herring, and that it was actually David Morse's character who intentionally released it. And it, and now, you know, pun, you know, now there's, you know, there's conspiracy theories out there that, mm-hmm. you know, the contagion didn't come from the wet markets in Wuhan, but it actually came from, you know, from a lab 4 miles away, and protocols were not met, and that maybe this actually got out. And you see how, you know, like even at the end of 12 Monkeys, when Dave Morse's character is in the airport and he opens the vial and says, see, it's odorless. You can't even smell it. And, and it's invisible, and it's already doing its thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just like it is here where, you know, in Wuhan in like mid-December of last year, you know, they diagnosed like their first case, or they had their first death from, you know, coronavirus. And 100 days later, you know, it's, or 3 months later, or a month later, it was in 100 countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3.5, almost 4 months later, you know, there's like 1 million people dead, you know, around the planet, you know, and however many infected. And now they're saying maybe 60 to 70% of us are going to get this before it's all over with, you know. So it's just a scary thing. And the paranoia that Adrian was talking about with, you know, with the thing is very real. And, you know, like, you know, D was saying, and, you know, y'all talking about people, you know, running around with guns and, you know, and all of that. So
I was going to also say, like, you know, I think it's elicited also the baser emotions of people, in particular, this latent racism, you know, with the whole paranoia of, oh, it came from a Chinese lab. Well, that means Chinese people have it. People from China have it. So we have to oust them. I mean, there have been several reports of attacks upon Asians, not just of Chinese origin, but just because they're Asian. Right. Even worse so, in China itself, if I'm recalling correctly, there is it in China where there's like a Nigerian or African population?
Oh, yeah. Contingent.
And they're being ostracized.
And they're being ostracized, yeah.
Immensely so, because there's kind of that thing over there of, well, maybe they have it. And so just everyone is kind of partaking in that paranoia, and it's just it's sickening. It's sickening. And, you know, contrary to all of these commercials out now, I make fun of them to my daughters. I said, watch this. You know what I'm gonna say. Okay, we'll be out there watching TV, right? And you know the commercials get ready to come on because it's a soft piano beat. Do,
do, do. In these trying times.
Yes, exactly. We're all together. We all are as one. So bang your pots and pans at 7 o'clock every night. I'm not taking my pan outside to bang on that shit. I know what they do.
Really? That's a thing?
No, it's like everything is like, oh, we all need to come together. You didn't feel that need before all this. And once we get better, it's going to go back to the same. We're like, get up off me. Back up.
But, you know, the thing about it is that there are companies who want to sell you things mm-hmm. are stuck twofold. One, they can't just come on there with people singing and dancing and, you know, brothers, you know, dancing and juking, you know, and, you know, to try to sell you fried chicken and you know, you want a Cadillac. They can't just do that anymore. So they have to mention it. That's one.
Yeah.
And two, they're stuck in another way because they've already paid for this advertisement. So they have to use it. Like, they can't not use it. So it's just like every commercial. It's like,
I get it. Every commercial is like,
we several... here at the Honda dealership care about your needs. No, the hell you don't.
Exactly. Because
you want me to come up in that dealership and sit up in there for 3 hours like y'all make us do every time you buy a new car. And ain't nobody coming up in there sitting there for no 3 goddamn hours dodging coronavirus droplets because you want to sell me a car.
But you got to get that new, got to get that 2021 Accord, Joe.
Hey,
that 2021, yo.
Amen.
That's that fire right there. But what gets me, though, is it's just the thing of, we were talking earlier about how little by little people are giving up their humanity. Now, it's not drastic or anything, but like in those commercials, every other commercial now has like a dozen screenshots at once of people in quarantine in their house, and they're all eating tacos in front of the camera. You got a whole family dancing over some tacos. Like, come on, bro. Come on, man.
Amen.
Maybe I'm just being a cranky old man, and I probably am, but I'm just like, come on, man. Y'all doing the most. Come on.
It's truly telling where Charmin has a commercial with the Bears. It's usually pretty funny, happy-go-lucky, and they're like, you know, we're like we realize in this trying time that you feel like you're running out of toilet paper, but rest assured, we are. It is in production, so you'll be okay.
You can wipe your butt.
Right. You know, I'm like, wow.
Oh my goodness, man.
Is that where we are now? You know,
apparently.
And the thing is, it's. You know, man, that's why it's very important to me, man. And, you know, when I mention faith, it's not about the faith in a higher power per se. It's the faith in the decency and human qualities, humaneness of man. And I think a lot of times it's like when you go out and you're shopping like it's the end of the world because you don't have enough inside yourself enough intellectual wherewithal to do the proper studies and put things in place from the beginning so that you know that this is not something that's going to last if we take heed to what needs to be done right now. What needs to be done right now is not going out to the grocery store and buying up all the freaking toilet paper.
Well,
you know? By that, you're creating a need that wasn't there before.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, but see, that's what happens is people like now, Tyson and some of the meat plants.
Oh, yeah.
Had big coronavirus outbreaks, so now they're saying there's going to be a shortage of meat. So now people are hoarding meat. So what you see happening is the retailers are like, look, you can only buy two packs of meat per person. You can only buy one roll of toilet paper and one roll of paper towels per person. And if everybody just buys in moderation, then, you know, everybody will have enough to get by. But it's like, okay, if you want to buy all the toilet paper in the world, you know, it's like, okay, now there's not going to be any for somebody else. Now somebody else is desperate. It's people desperate. You know, about 6 weeks ago, some people were desperate trying to find toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really is an extreme, but, you know, I get it. And see, like now, I mean, if anybody's winning now, to some extent,
it's the retailers.
Well, the retailers per se, but it's the cable news channels.
Oh yeah.
They're running coronavirus 24 hours a day. They're repeating Rachel Maddow. They're repeating Ari Melber's show. They're just running it all the time, people are watching it all day long. And that, you know, and that's good for their ratings. That's good for their advertising dollars that they sell. You know, so.
I simply can't do it. I simply can't do it. You know, they take off standard television shows. Like there was on ABC, there was a show that came on during the afternoon for a pandemic show. You know, it's like okay, yeah, we get it. You know, but you know, there's nothing that you're telling me that's new from yesterday.
Right.
It's current enough for you to warrant a systemic TV show that comes on at the same time every day.
A pandemic town hall, yo.
Right. You know, it's like, well, no, I'm not going to go into that. That's just, that's too easy. Cool, that's low hanging fruit. But I mean, it's in terms of like the pandemic oriented shows, not the, you know, whatever.
You're talking about the news shows, or you're talking about a fiction?
The news shows.
There is new information every day. But it's if you watch it for about 10 minutes in the morning and maybe 10 minutes in the evening, you got it.
You got it.
You got everything you need to know for the day.
I don't need an hour of that. Just not an hour for that. I don't need a constant little small scrolling updates of what's happening inside of the state. I don't need that. Because you're not up to date anyway. It's like this constant need for information. Like it breeds.
It's all in your Google feed. It's everywhere.
Yeah. It breeds a hysteria, man. And I refuse to succumb to that, dude. So, honestly, right now, my station's, I'm on YouTube, dude. I'm learning and watching things that I want to engage in. I'm not going to allow them to dictate my mindset and change things for me. I just can't do that. then I have that privilege. And I encourage any free thinking human being out there to do the same thing. You know, you control what you intake. And once you've had enough, turn that ish off and look towards things which are positive that can give you motivation inside of this crisis scenario. Which this is not, honestly, man, I can't help but laugh, Wayne. I mean, I know COVID-19 is a very real thing, and anybody that doesn't take it seriously is an idiot. They're fooling themselves and their families.
Yeah.
But if this is a test for what a true pandemic is, we have failed miserably as a species. We are doomed.
Mm.
Because this, a true pandemic will wipe your ass out in a matter of hours, days, not over a course of, you have options to go put a mask on and walk amongst people and go to the grocery store and no, people. This is only as bad as you make it, literally, because you are not adhering to certain guidelines that the government, not the government per se, but the health officials have put in place for you.
CDC, right. World Health Organization.
Right. Yeah, so, trying to bring this all back around, I'm sorry, back to Mad Max. Which is, you know, about poor little Max and the situation with his family. You know, he was reacting to a situation which led him to be isolationist because he couldn't really cope or deal with the loss of his family. So,
what were you gonna say?
I was gonna say, you know, D had made a good point earlier this week or maybe previously. You know, just as how Americans, and I'm gonna speak in Americans here. Kind of a plural, you know, we look at other cultures, like say, for instance, in countries like Japan and China, even before the outbreak of this, you know, you would see, you know, a lot of the populations there wearing masks, you know, and it's kind of like, oh man, look at them, many wear masks everywhere. Now, part of it is yes, especially in like Tokyo and places like that, it's a very dense population, you know, right. So there's a lot of pollution and everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, there is more of a breeding ground for, you know, colds and flus and things like that, normal diseases, you know what I'm saying? And I think we as Americans looked at that as like, oh that's so whatever.
Those are the cultures.
Exactly. But now we're in that boat. You know, mm-hmm. now it's not so funny. Now it's not mm-hmm. so, you can't mock that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I still feel like also Americans are not taking this seriously at all, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the stay-at-home order was brought down here in Georgia, you know, my wife was on me about stay your ass inside, okay? Because I got, you know, kidney disease and stuff, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm one of those that could be endangered. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, no problem. Now, I will say, I did go to the store to pick up some things, but I had my mask on, sanitizer the whole nine, and I was being as careful as I could. Now, in recent mm-hmm. weeks, I've, you know, dialed back on that, but you still see the same number of people out there driving. When I go to dialysis, oh, man, they just driving like it ain't nothing. Oh, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not until the National Guard or someone at the point of a gun says, keep your ass inside. Don't bring your ass outside. Then people will be like, okay, all right, bro, you got it. But beyond that, it's like Americans, man, they just, I'm going to do what I want to do. You better open mm-hmm. this restaurant back up. You better, mm-mm. And it's just like, mm-mm. Y'all not taking mm-hmm. it too serious enough yet, you know?
That's and I don't want to. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, sorry. And I was just going to finish by saying, and I don't know, I don't even want to imagine what is going to be the tipping point, the critical point that's going to convince Americans as a whole that, yo, this is serious and we need to heed it, like, together, you know, as lame as that sounds, but seriously.
Well, I think we're there. I think you do see it as being a serious thing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a question of like, whether or not it impinges on their rights to earn money for their families and things of that nature, it's a critical balancing act. Like, I think we've I don't think, I can't say they haven't done enough. I think, let's put it this way. When I think about the amount of money, the trillions of dollars right now has been spent on these packages for recovery. Mm-hmm. It blows my freaking mind. But at the same time, I realize that, okay, we should have a certain amount of money put aside anyway, with as much money as we pay in taxes every year for the past 40 years, plus that I've been alive as an American.
Dude, the $1,200, the stimulus check.
Right.
They are steady trying to make everybody, not steady, but I mean, there's a segment out there that's trying to make people feel guilty for taking the check. That's my money.
Right.
You're giving me back my money, bruh.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I need $1,200. I mean, all right. I mean, I think I got it. What you mean you think you got it? I've been paying you for 40 years. You got it.
Seriously.
Good for
Seriously.
Damn.
You got
Seriously.
It.
Seriously.
You know,
Seriously.
You see how fast they threw $1 trillion at Wall Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't have money for this. We don't have money to forgive student loans. We don't have money for universal health care. We don't have money for any of those things. But we got $1 trillion to throw at some Wall Street fat cat fuckers so that they don't, you know, to bail them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we got money to build these $1 million freaking airplanes. Money to build these crazy $1 million ships that never really seen any kind of real warfare because nobody could fuck with us because we spent so much money on these machines that we pretty much have air superiority. Mm. You know? So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like it's a question of where you want to put your money. Like I quote this, man, and I mean it as much with an amount of anger and viciousness as I possibly can say it. People shouldn't be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their fucking people, and that's from V for Vendetta. And I live for the day. That's all I'm gonna say.
Damn, that's all foreboding shit. Damn, okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, Guy Fox, all right.
Dot, dot, dot.
You know? I mean, it's Confederacy of Dunces, yo. It's like, dude, you know, don't play me like I'm the money that I'm giving you is a... Like Swain said, like you're doing me a favor. I mean, we paying in taxes for fucking years, dude. Multiply us times 1 million other motherfuckers in this country, and you got that money, dog. Where you're putting it is the question. Where you chose to invest it without our knowledge is the question.
And the other part of it is this. We've got to start thinking about the fact that you know, this, and I don't want to use the term the new normal because that's been, you know, that's been used to death, and it's kind of a time of a few, you know, it sounds very kind of like 2015 or whatever, or 2010. But
sorry, Adrian.
Yeah, because I just used it. It's all good. You good,
I know,
bro.
I know. I'm
I
just
got
saying.
You. It's all good, man.
No. I'm just saying. I know you did. But my point is this. Moving forward, we are... I'm not saying it's just going to be because of coronavirus. The world is changing. We are going to have to start thinking about things in a different way. People are stuck in this mentality of the way things were is the only way things can be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true. Money is a construct. It is a piece of paper that we have assigned value to it.
Mm-hmm.
The government could come out tomorrow and say, okay, as of now, a dollar is worth 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Jeff Bezos is not worth $130 billion. Now he's worth... $65 billion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden everybody is worth half as much as they thought. That's a construct.
Mm-hmm.
We just say, hey, this piece of paper represents that.
Mm-hmm.
We can change that tomorrow. And it's the same thing with anything else in our society. You know, we're going to have to start thinking about things in a different way than we have. People are, you know, you hear older people talk about, and this is a bit of a tangent, but you know, people talk about, you know, the kids today, you know, they're always on their cell phones and texting and social media and TikTok and all this. And, you know, they're not going to have any social skills. They're not going to know how to deal with the real world in the future. Well, I've said this to several people before. Are they going to have no social skills or are they going to have different social skills?
There it is.
Because it's a different way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure if we went back to the 1940s or 50s when people started having phones in their home, everybody said it was going to be the end of the world, and all of a sudden people would stop socializing because you could just call them on the phone and talk to them instead of going and talking to them face to face. Did that happen? No. When the VCR came along, people are not going to go to the movies anymore. Did that happen? No.
No.
it just becomes a new way of doing things or an added mm-hmm. benefit to society, and eventually some things do fall away. We don't use pagers mm-hmm. anymore. We don't use mm-hmm. word processors. And moving forward in the future, you know, I was fine with not having to necessarily shake everybody's goddamn hand every 5 minutes. You know, I mean, I think people think because I like to talk that I'm, you know, that I like, you know,
like you're gregarious
and being around crowds and shit. I don't. You know, I really don't. I don't care for that. I do prefer to be by myself and to, you know, kind of enjoy my things. And, you know, I like mm-hmm. small, controlled groups. I don't need a big crowd. I'm like Drew Struzan. Mm-hmm. I don't get mm-hmm. my power from a crowd. I lose mm-hmm. my power, you know, going in crowds. I get tired mm-hmm. of going to conventions mm-hmm. and shit. Yo, every convention we've ever been to, if it was longer than 3 days, by the second day, I was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm good. I actually just want to now just visit the city and just see, you know, and see what's up. You know, it's just, you know, crowds are just, so anyway, it's just, you know, we're all going to have to adjust to the future. Things are just not going to stay the same. Life doesn't mm-hmm. exist in stasis. It's not mm-hmm. a sitcom where we reset at the end and everybody's okay and sitting on the couch, you know, talking about, you know, going to, you know, Jackie's Pizzeria for a slice.
That concludes this episode of Sidebar Forever, hosted by Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson. You can find us online at sidebarforever.com. Any emails or questions can be directed to us at sidebarforever@gmail.com. And also, subscribe to us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Sidebar Forever is copyright 2020. Dwight Clark, Swain Hunt, and Adrian Johnson.